Hello everyone, I'm Gabrielle Mason, a writer with Becker's Hospital Review. Thank you for tuning in to the Becker's Healthcare Podcast Series. Today I'm pleased to be joined by Brant Herman, founder and CEO of Mouthwatch. Thank you so much for talking with us today. Would you like to give us a brief intro or description of your role or just share some information about yourself before we jump into our first topic?
You bet. I'm the founder and CEO of Mouthwatch. We have been around for almost 10 years and launched an original teledentistry product and have seen that evolve and grow. And we're also a major intraoral camera vendor out in the marketplace with cameras in over 18,000 practices around the country.
Oh, wow. Interesting. I didn't know that. Well, thank you for that. I think we'll start off in our first topic today is about challenges that dental practices are facing when reopening amid the pandemic and just some easy ways to stay up to date with changing regulatory guidelines. So I know a lot of dental practices have been reopening, and I'm curious as to what challenges they face, but also if you think they'll be closing down again at all, if you foresee that as, I know it's hard to predict, but.
Yeah, well, I think now we're in a time. Yeah, we've definitely seen, I think, some states that had opened start kind of tightening some restrictions again. And we've really seen, and historically, I think there will be that cycle of opening and then tightening and loosening for kind of the hopefully not too long future. But yeah, I mean, I think there is a lot for practices to consider. I think dentists were, you know, put in challenging positions as far as what changes needed to happen, not only to their workflow and how they interacted with patients, but new equipment needs and filtration systems and protocols for PPE and sterilization and cleaning. So it is ever changing. I think it's almost a part-time job to at least stay on top of what the latest recommendations and changes and research are. And really the role, I think practices are handling it as well as they can and trying to make those changes to everything from their waiting room to the check-in process to how they're approaching treatments with a patient while they're in the office and in the operatory. And then we see a really large role that teledentistry comes to play to not only help practices manage that, you know, cycle of reopenings and closings and restrictions and loosenings, but how to communicate with patients about those and how to mitigate risk for that patient as they are encountering the practice through consults, through follow-up appointments, even conducting an exam after their preventive care appointments so that you're not burning through PPE and you're able to really make it more efficient for your practice and your patients as well.
Definitely. I know you just touched on PPE. So what are some practices that offices can use to effectively preserve some of those supplies while maintaining safety? I know PPE shortages was a huge issue in the first surge. Hopefully, dental practices have more, they're more prepared now, but could you speak to some practices that can help preserve those supplies?
You bet. So one aspect we're seeing a lot with teledentistry is how can you take the limited exam or the periodic exam aspect of a preventive care appointment and shift that to the cloud or to a virtual appointment? So instead of, you know, a doctor having to don PPE to go in for a very quick evaluation of a patient, it could be something that is documented by the hygiene team and then shared to the doctor, and the doctor conducts it and then follows up with the patient through a consultation or some messaging that they didn't find any issues. Or if they need to, they can do a virtual consultation, say, look, here are some of the images that we showed. Let's have a real-time video call. And we can go through what the hygienist found while you were at your appointment, and let's schedule your follow-up appointment now that you see and understand that. So that's going to save a lot of PPE donning and doffing within a normal day. I think that's one key part. We also have seen practices shift, let's say, a general follow-up appointment. I think you're dealing with patients who, if they can avoid a visit, they might prefer to. So how can you take, let's say, a follow-up to a procedure that in pre-COVID times would have been very easy to ask the patient to come in for a 5-minute look-see? Now, can you move that to the cloud? Can you do it in the afternoon or evening when it's more convenient for everyone and save that chair time in your practice, save the PPE, save everything that comes with turning over a room, especially when you're paying extra attention and spending extra time due to the need for, you know, infection control and proper cleaning procedures.
Right. And I think this is very interconnected to what you just discussed, but what are some simple ways dentists can rebuild patient trust while introducing new workflows?
So a key thing that we found when everyone was in quarantine was practices that their eyes opened to the value of teledentistry. And while some practices had a procedure in place for handling when the office was closed, when doctors may have been on vacation or, you know, some kind of reason for a short-term closure, it didn't work when it was extended. So by allowing your patients to talk to their dentist, to their hygienist, to have those consultations and communication and staying available to them was a huge aspect in retaining the trust that I think practices try to build with their patients, and also attracting new patients who suddenly had this concern or had a new question, and they could get a better level of service and consultation and reassurance when they're talking through to the provider through a video conference or some secure messaging approach. And I think that's where practices that figured it out, that implemented it, they started really seeing how much could shift. It's still dentistry. You're still not just calling in a prescription to take care of a cavity or a crown, but where telemedicine might have that advantage, right? The telemedicine consult or telecounseling, those could be done completely. But for dentistry, it's more about more effectively prioritizing a patient concern, triaging. If you are calling in a prescription, this is more of an effective way to evaluate the patient. If you're trying to assess swelling or really build that, you know, quote unquote, face-to-face relationship with the patient through that video consult, as opposed to it all taking place on a phone or some kind of messaging that's going back and forth. So those are some key ways. And I think workflows really extend from that is when patients are coming in, are they skipping the waiting room? Are you trying to message with them while they're in their car, getting a notification to then come in, give them the new protocols for how to communicate or how to come into their appointments, and even some home care instruction and aftercare. We've seen practices implemented really effectively and creatively of saying, okay, you did just have an extraction or you had some implants placed. Now we're going to have the hygienist reach out to you for some home care instruction and aftercare instruction. So it really becomes this value add for a practice of, wow, they didn't just give me a, you know, a printout of what I should do. They checked in with me. I had this conversation, I could ask questions, and all of those things really helped reestablish that loyalty and build trust between the patient and the practice.
So for my own curiosity, I know you mentioned attracting new patients a little bit. So how have you seen dentists or dental practices advertise teledentistry to attract new patients? Or how have you seen them show the accessibility to patients without ever meeting the patients before?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. And some practices do a really good job of incorporating on their website or through social media, kind of letting them know they're available for a teledentistry consultation. It might be positioned as a cosmetic consultation. Send me some photos, send me some of your goals, and then we can have a conversation about it and kind of lead to the bigger case that happens when they come into the office. We're also seeing them use it as an emergency screening tool. So if you do have this urgent concern, we saw practices during COVID who were even going into kind of community message boards or Facebook groups for their town and saying, look, if you have an emergency or a concern, you can reach out to us. New patients are welcome, existing patients. they'd be able to have that consult and get some advice, get some feedback. So I think it really is a good opportunity for practices, if they've got their marketing act together in ways to spread the word about it. We try as a company to support practices in that and give them tools to add a form to their website, to allow a patient to request a consultation, attach any images. And all of this stuff that we're doing is HIPAA compliant. Our system from end to end is HIPAA compliant. So we want to make sure patients are aware of what practices are able to offer. And then I think there's a lot more adoption and willingness by patients now to move some of these things to the cloud. I think they saw very quickly for an extended period of time how much could shift to a virtual consultation or a virtual meeting or virtual follow-up. I think that's a big way that practices that do it well can let their patients know and attract new patients by offering that service.
Yeah, thank you. That was so interesting. I know we've discussed a lot about teledentistry, but can you briefly just describe how you think it might be applied during and post-COVID?
You bet. So I think during, it allows for better communication. It allows to kind of set expectations, educate patients on what their visit to the office might look like now. It allows them a path to communicate about any concerns with the doctor, or the hygiene, or the office team, to have a virtual consultation prior to coming in. I think as it's become more than just an emergency triage tool, right? I think a lot of practices wanted to have it in that way during the COVID response. And I think a value add during that time was that insurance companies were changing what they were reimbursing. So they were letting practices bill, and we're big supporters of it, is conduct a teledentistry consultation. And if it's about a specific problem, the practice should be able to bill for a limited problem-focused evaluation. If it's a post-operative visit, they should be able to do that via teledentistry. So I think that opened a lot of practices' eyes to value and also a path to some revenue by being able to offer these services to their patients during a challenging time. I think post-COVID, it's really this level of convenience that patients are going to expect. It's an expectation that a practice should be able to have some of these digital tools to improve how they communicate, make that convenient offering to their patients. And a lot of kind of some of the irony is now with these new PPE requirements and the change of what an office appointment looks like, when a patient goes in and there's a need for, let's say, a larger treatment plan, it used to be great for the doctor to go back into their private office, sit down with the patient, talk through it, have a consultation. But that can't really happen when they're donning a face mask and a shield and loops and covered in a gown. So that conversation is much more effective now, where you're actually seeing the doctor's face, the provider that you know, and you're having more of a face-to-face encounter on a video conference than you were having in the office, where the doctor's covered head to toe in protective equipment and you're looking to get out of there because you don't want to be in an environment where, you know, it's just the setting that you don't want to be in. So I think we've seen a lot of practices move that. So case presentations are being done virtually. They might share a screen. They might show intraoral photos and explain the process a little bit more. And what's nice is the patient can be at home and they could be with their spouse or partner or anyone to talk about another opinion, to listen to what the case presentation might be. So it's been really helpful to see that. And I think it's really going to be a lasting behavior change. A lot of what we've seen in the telehealth space and in teledentistry is COVID just accelerated consumer behavior in this area by 10 mm-hmm. years. So you've got patients who are open to it. You've got providers who can recognize the need for it. And you have these other circumstances that really make an office visit a little bit more challenging and time consuming, right? Of turning over a room and sanitizing a room. So how can we take some of those time constraints out of the office and shift them to a teledentistry encounter?
Absolutely. I completely agree. And I think that's such a great point about the conveniency expectations. Lastly, could how should offices prepare for a potential COVID resurgence, which we are seeing a lot in many local communities?
Yeah, I think when it comes to teledentistry, it's really having it implemented and having your team understand how the role it plays, having buy-in from all of your team members, and starting to have some workflows and understandings of where teledentistry will come in the scheme of things. So which appointments could we shift to a virtual consult? How do we let our patients know about emergency evaluations, which can be done through this service? Getting more and more patients up and set up in a patient portal for secure messaging. So I think that's where if practices have to start shifting from all procedures to emergency only procedures and back and forth, this becomes a great tool to help them just really have up more information and kind of meet the patient where they are, that the patient is going through those same restrictions. If there is a spike, they might be more concerned about going out. So what services could you continue to offer? And how can you engage? You might have done a procedure when everything was okay, but now the post-op visit is during a time when, you know, restrictions are a little bit tighter or the patient is more nervous about coming in. We kind of joke and it's a shame, but patients were already a little bit nervous about going to the dentist. Right? That was some challenge patients already had. Now you've added this other level to it. So if you can do more and more to show your patients that your practice is addressing it, this is a tool that you've brought in to make them more comfortable, protect their safety, protect your team's safety, and you can up the level of service and up the relationship that you build with your patients, even when you're in some of these more restrictive settings.
I think that's so, so insightful. And I really appreciate you taking your time today and your responses. We also want to thank our podcast sponsor, Mouthwatch. You can tune into more podcasts with Becker's Healthcare by visiting our podcast page at beckershospitalreview.com.